You are invited to visit the Stream Globe online radio. The link is streamglobe.radio. That is www.streamglobe.radio. You will find the link at the end of every devotional text. This online radio is a 24-hour radio service filled with edifying sermons, edifying Christian music, talk shows, and of course, Stream Globe devotional. Stream Globe online radio has been optimized to minimize internet data consumption. Hi everyone. This is just a quick heads up to stay safe on WhatsApp. Unfortunately, there are some people out there who may try to trick you into sharing sensitive information. Please remember that no one from Stream Globe would ever ask you for codes or numbers. Also, if you're on any of our Stream Globe WhatsApp groups, if you receive any unsolicited messages from a member of your WhatsApp group, don't panic. Don't leave the group. Simply block and report such a person to WhatsApp using the report option. They won't be able to send you messages again, and WhatsApp will take appropriate action to prevent this from happening to others. Such people will most likely be eventually banned by WhatsApp. So please be careful as you use WhatsApp, and remember to forward Stream Globe devotional to your friends and contacts on WhatsApp.
Hello, and welcome to Stream Globe Daily Devotional. Your host is Pastor S.D. Abraham.
Today's Stream Globe Devotional is titled, Your Crowd. Today's meditation was written by Abraham Dabilola Arigi. We shall be taking our Bible reading from Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have, so that no one can take away your crown. I have just read from the New English Translation Bible. When Christ returns to take over the governments of this world, he will not rule the entire earth alone, but will rule and judge with his saints. As we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 to 3. He will apportion territories and dominion according to our kingdom ranking. Some will be given 10 cities to rule, while some will be given 5, etc. Luke chapter 19, verse 11 to 19 gives a parable that would help you understand this. Your ranking and reward is based on how you are faithful with the little God has entrusted in your hand in this time. See Luke chapter 16, verse 10. I believe one reason we will be given crowns is because we will be given territories to rule. Crowns are given to rulers. They are not just symbols for reward. God does not do anything without first concluding it in the realm of eternity. Your lot and portion in the kingdom of God, including your crowns, have been concluded from before the foundation of the world. If you fulfill your calling here on earth by yielding to God's foreordained will through obedience to his word and spirit, you will receive your crown of dominion and territories to rule in the coming kingdom. But if for some reason you refuse to align your will with the will of God to fulfill your calling, like the unfaithful servant in Luke chapter 29, verse 23 to 24, what you will have, your crown and throne, will be given to someone else. There can be no vacant throne in the coming kingdom. Go into today knowing that God wants you to fulfill your destiny more than you want to fulfill it. Ask the Lord to deliver you from all deception and procrastination. Ask him to lead you in the path of righteousness and destiny for his name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Our yearly Bible reading plan for today shall be taken from John chapter 19 to John chapter 20. Now, this Bible reading plan is continuous. So if you begin with us today, for example, by this time next year, you would have gone through the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. The audio comes up next. John chapter 19 to John chapter 20.
Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying,
"Hail, King of the Jews!"
And they slapped him in the face. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews,
"Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him."
When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them,
"Here is the man."
As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, but Pilate answered,
"You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him."
The Jews insisted,
"We have a law, and according to that law, he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God."
When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace.
"Where do you come from?"
he asked Jesus, but Jesus gave him no answer.
"Do you refuse to speak to me? Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?"
Jesus answered,
"You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin."
From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free. But the Jews kept shouting,
"If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar."
"Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar."
When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the Stone Pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon.
"Here is your king,"
Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted,
"Take him away!
Crucify him!
Take him away!
Shall I crucify your king?"
Pilate asked.
"We have no king but Caesar,"
the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. Here, they crucified him, and with two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate,
"Do not write, 'The King of the Jews,' but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews."
Pilate answered,
"What I have written, I have written."
When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom.
"Let's not tear it,"
they said to one another.
"Let's decide by lot who will get it."
This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, "They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment." So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her,
"Woman, here is your son."
And to the disciple,
"Here is your mother."
From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, And so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said,
I am thirsty.
A jar of wine vinegar was there. So they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you may also believe. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And, as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it, with the spices, in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said,
"They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him."
So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her,
"Woman, why are you crying?"
"They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him."
At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her,
"Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?"
Thinking he was the gardener, she said,
"Sir, If you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him.
Jesus said to her,
Mary.
She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic,
Rabboni!
Which means teacher. Jesus said,
Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.
Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news.
I have seen the Lord.
And she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said,
Peace be with you.
After he had said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said,
Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you.
And with that, he breathed on them and said,
Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven.
Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him,
We have seen the Lord!
But he said to them,
Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.
A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said,
Peace be with you.
Then he said to Thomas,
Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe.
Thomas said to him,
My Lord and my God.
Then Jesus told him,
Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.
Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name.
You have just listened to Stream Globe Devotional. Kindly share this devotional and let's touch lives together. To learn more about this ministry, get more of our free resources, or give to this work, visit our website at www.streamglobe.org.